live and local on AM 770 KTTH. Your independent conservative host, Todd Herman, welcomes you to The Todd Herman Show.
Today is the day the Lord has made, and these are the times through which God decided you will live. He put you here in this time. He put me here in this time for a reason. He could have had us live at any time. But God does a thing. There's a lot of things, but He chooses people for periods of time. If we take a moment to pull ourselves back from busy news cycles and from busy life and pop our head up and look around, the question for all of us, as I regard it, is why did God choose me to live right now? Because there was a reason. God Almighty doesn't need us. He doesn't. There's nothing you can give God that He needs. There's things He wants, and there's things He desires for us. But there's nothing you can give God Almighty that He needs. That's a interesting realization, because it gets down to that question of, what is God's will for me? What does God want me to do? Well, how about, what does God want? And how do you fit in? That's been the change for me. This is one of the core reasons why I made the decision to take this program to a podcast format. And as I say that, they just ran another promo thanking me for being here. The radio station people did. That's making it harder to leave. That decision's been made. It's an irrevocable decision. But I am so deeply humbled and that they're sending us off this way. I'm just so thankful. And one of the reasons I'm leaving is segments like this. I don't know that this can ever work on commercial radio, because too many people will be offended. And there was a day when talk radio offended people by nature. That was your job. You know, callers called, you belittled them, you yelled at them, you argued with them. It said things that were meant to just get designed to get attention. That was the early days of talk radio. And it has become far more intelligent in many circles. God Almighty is under attack by people who want to be the new gods. And it's almost mechanized, guys. This takes some brain stretching. It did for me. It's items small and large. It's items subtle and in your face. And it ranges all throughout the party. There's a new CEO of Twitter. Jack Dorsey stepped down. And Jack Dorsey, of course, is the guy who banned Donald Trump for, among other things, sharing memes. Twitter has announced this morning that it is now against their policy to share private videos or photos of people without their permission. Want to know why? Because it can unfairly affect activists and minorities. Activists. What does this mean? Twitter does not want the truth of a thing that happened to be on their platform, unless that truth has been cleansed by the Mockingbird media. They say private media can cause these problems. Private media, meaning Katie Davis Court at the Post Millennial, meaning Eliza Schaefer at the Blaze. Private media. We would not have known what went on with Kyle Rittenhouse without private media, because the FBI hid their drone footage until the trial was just about over. That's an attack on truth. Now, there's no doubt that the new CEO doesn't see this as an attack on proof, on truth, Parag Agrawal. But he's also a guy who said Twitter is not going to be bound by the First Amendment. Well, that's good and well, except Twitter is an extension of the government. Taking away our ability to use our eyes to judge a thing, to judge a truth, to be able to say, oh, look, Kyle Rittenhouse was being chased by three men who clearly intend him harm. That's removing from us our ability to use our skepticism, our eyes, our brain, loaned to us by God. Now, that's subtle. Twitter's not going to ban this. And I'm not saying they should. I'm saying we should regard it as something very important to our culture and to our way of life and to, in fact, our salvation. The Gossip Girls has decided to run a segment of their program where teen girls have a, well, parents, warning for parents, thank you. They decided to run a scene where teen girls have a threesome, but there's a detail to this. This is TV, guys. This isn't porn.
We're not supposed to do that.
Mainstream TV.
You texted me.
We need an intervention.
We gotta clean that before stained glass takes on all new meaning.
Guys, that's mainstream TV. It's not porn. They had the threesome in front of a chapel crucifix. The remarkably biblical nature of this is both comforting and disturbing. Here's the comforting part. When Moses was on the mountain with God, and God was laying out the Ten Commandments, and down below, the Jewish people who would become the Israeli people said, hey, you know what? Let's have ourselves a golden calf. Let's make a golden calf, and then let's worship it so that we can have sex orgies. Because we miss having sex orgies, because we had sex orgies under the Egyptians, and we can have our golden calf. Now that's our God, and it's a golden calf, so therefore it doesn't care if we have sex orgies. It's a calf. It's made of gold. It's a God we made. And so they did. And God said, that's it. I'm going to wipe this slate clean. I'm going to kill all these people. Moses, let's you and I start again. And Moses said, no, I beg you, please let me go down and try to address this. And God allowed that to occur. That was then. Where are we now? What is our role? What is our role? People have been scared into and conned into and pushed into not saying that's ungodly. It's ungodly. Why? Why? Because you say so? No, because the word of God says so. But why would God care? Here's an interesting fact. Really interesting to me. The people who will say, well, but God doesn't care because, look, I'm good people and this is how I express myself sexually and this is how God designed me and so I don't care and it's an orgy and it's teen girls and it's on the Gossip Girls and it's on mainstream TV. If you believe in God and you believe that God created the universe, then you therefore believe that God created the math of the universe. You then believe that God created the interactions of molecules in the universe. You then agree that God created all the chemical interactions and the resulting responses of chemical interactions. You agree then that God created the aminos that create proteins, aminos themselves being proteins, creating a chicken and egg phenomena. You then agree that God created the design of the human eye and butterflies that can morph out of caterpillars and into butterflies. And you agree that God designed the honeybee to be able to fly backwards. And you designed that animals should be able to go to sleep during the winter and hardly eat. And you all of these things that God designed. But God, having designed all these things, then set it in place and then said, I don't care what you do with yourselves. I have no thoughts. That's a con job. A God that took that much time to design a universe like this cares what we do. But it's deeper than this. Normalizing activities like this, if you remove it from the spiritual, you remove it from religion. Because I'm sorry, all the Abrahamic faiths look at this as perverse. They just do. That's just sorry, but that's just true. If you take it down a step, what happens biologically, psychologically, when people depart in this manner from the Word of God, as the Gossip Girls would have us believe is perfectly normal? Let's look at that and the Jeffrey Epstein story as we continue to explore this after we check traffic with Right Way Traffic. Are you familiar with the cuddle molecule, the cuddle hormone? Do you know what that is? There is a hormone released in humans after sexual union. And the hormone is what drives people to feel super close after sexual union. And so married couples, other couples have talks, and everybody feels very close to one another. There's also hormones released in young women after sexual union that causes them to feel very, very close to the partner, more so than the man, by the way. Those hormones are very special things, because it's communicating a closeness that does not benefit from having it torn asunder or thrown about, you know, just here and there and willy-nilly, that it communicates a closeness. I have a theory as to why. I believe that in sexual union, we are as close to God as we ever can be, because we get to participate in Him creating life. We don't create it, but we participate it in a way that God celebrates and makes for us very special and physically pleasurable and psychologically pleasurable. So what happens in cases like this, like in the Gossip Girls, this TV show, mainstream TV show that should in fact be categorized as pornography, but it's not because, well, the party. When people indiscriminately abuse that gift at a young age, you know what they don't develop? The ability to have close, meaningful relationships. They don't develop the capacity for discernment. This is a close lifelong partner versus this is a hookup, right? This is a sexting partner. So fascinating to me that the party is obsessed with destroying the specialness of the sexual union, to degrading it, starting in junior high, starting in kindergarten, to degrading it. Starting in kindergarten, telling kids, it's really fun to touch your penis and your clitoris. You should do it. And the teacher can show you how. Here's a picture. To up into the senior levels of high school, saying, hey, did you know that some people like to have sex while they're bleeding? It's called blood play. It's so interesting that the party is obsessed with taking sexual union and degrading it at the same time as promoting it as something you should do all the time, indiscriminately. While on the other end of the scale, they celebrate the killing of babies, which is the natural result of a sexual union between a man and a woman. Now, this is a top-down, bottom-up, squeeze-the-middle move. But it's a fundamental shift in what we would think of in terms of sexual union. Who benefits? Well, the same people who always benefit. As they confuse kids about sex, as they say it's something that should be done indiscriminately, as they encourage sex orgies even in junior high, it's in the curriculum, guys. It's not me. I'm not making it up. I don't want to talk about this stuff. I'm driven to talk about it. The people who benefit are Planned Parenthood, who are now celebrating sexually transmitted infections. Shout your infection. And hey, Planned Parenthood has what for the infection? Drugs made by who? The same drug makers who make wrong sex hormones for kids. The same drug makers who make a useless and remarkably dangerous series of injections that's supposed to be about COVID. So you have kids now. Hey, it's natural to get sexually transmitted infections. Therefore, it's natural to be on a battery of drugs your entire life so you don't have syphilis eating your brain. What happens when human beings say, I'm not so interested in God's concept of marriage and sexuality? I want to do the opposite. Disease? Mental illness? These things occur. It's almost like the God of the universe who designed the universe and physicality and biology and chemical interactions and chemical responses also said, hey, by the way, all these chemical responses that I designed, that I invented, I've invented some rules to help you not have bad chemical reactions in your body and bad brain reactions in your body. It's almost like the commandments from God match our biologies. Almost just like that. Because it's just like that, in my judgment. Which brings us to Jeffrey Epstein. ABC News is Project Veritas. Project Veritas brought us. Now, why did I pause on Project Veritas? What does Project Veritas do? Hidden camera work. Why? Because they need to get inside organizations to show us how corrupt they are. Who did they do it to? Twitter, Zuckerberg, Facebook, CNN. What has Twitter done? Banned private media from sharing videos without people's permission, even when they're filmed quite legally. They don't want the truth on their platform. Project Veritas talked to a reporter who had the Jeffrey Epstein story very, very early on, as some private media people remind us on, in fact, Twitter.
I've had the story for 3 years. We would not put it on the air. Then the palace found out that we had her whole allegations about Prince Andrew and threatened us a million different ways. She had pictures. It was unbelievable what we had. Clinton, we had everything.
ABC, why wouldn't y'all be interested in the most prolific pedophile in history, in this country's history, who's linked with the most powerful people in the world like Bill Clinton, Prince Andrew? I don't know who Prince Andrew is, but he sounds important.
Prince Andrew was a guy who's never going to be called to account for what he did in the pictures that exist of him putting his arm around a young girl who was being pimped, apparently, by Jeffrey Epstein and, according to court documents and the accusations, by Ghislaine Maxwell. He has his picture taken with her, but he doesn't remember meeting her. There is an entire civilization that few people ever get to see. And those of us who've glimpsed the inside of it and have come back to tell you about it sometimes are looked at as, I guess, a religious fanatic, and perhaps I am one. But when you've been to the cocaine parties and people in Hollywood will not like you if you don't stay, and it's just the tip of the iceberg, you can begin to understand how a TV show like The Gossip Girls can want to normalize a teen sex threesome in front of a crucifix in a chapel because they're the new gods. They're the new gods. And when you've seen these things up close and you feel like you need to tell people, that's where I'm at, guys. Did I mention new gods?
But if they get up and really aim their bullets at Tony Fauci, well, people could recognize there's a person there, so it's easy to criticize. But they're really criticizing science, because I represent science. That's dangerous. To me, that's more dangerous than the slings and the arrows that get thrown at me. And if you damage science, you are doing something very detrimental to society long after I leave.
The CDC says that people get pregnant. Not women, people. The CDC says natural immunity is a theory. The CDC says injections that do not stop transmission or infection must be forced into the arms, the bodies, made in God's image with immune systems But the immune systems, they're just theory. The new gods. We'll come back with the Todd Herman Show.
It's your turn to text the Todd Herman Show.
The rule's pretty simple.
Be concise, be precise, and drop the mic. 800-465-8770.
And that's the way it is. You can text us, 800-465-8770. And this closing day before the last day of the program on KTTH, you can also email me, therman@ktth.com. I'll do the best I can to catch up on those emails because I won't have access to that email address starting Wednesday night. On the topic of email, Brian writes, "Dear Todd, I read on MyNorthwest.com that you're leaving KTTH. I've stopped listening to your program sometime last year when you crossed full into conspiracy theory territory. I see that you're thinking of becoming a pastor. I guess I should congratulate you on that. My question for you is, are you really leaving to pursue that, the podcast, or is it because you've lost your grip on reality? I remember a time when you did what talk show hosts do. You talked about talk things like Republicans and Democrats, like bills that were coming before the people, like our opportunities to vote against them. You talked about current news events. What I experience from your program now is that every single public health authority in the world is wrong, and you, Todd Herman, are an island of correctness, while everybody else in the world is a liar, and only Todd is the truth teller. Maybe you could help me understand what I got wrong with this. I obviously wish you well in what you do with your family. There was a time when you made a lot of sense as a talk show host, but that time has long since passed. Brian in Redmond, Washington." Well, Brian, thanks for the note. Appreciate you taking the time to write to a show that you don't listen to. So I guess I'll respond this way, Brian. I told you I'd respond in the air, and I told you I'd respond today. Since you don't listen to the last year, then you have no idea what you're talking about. We'll just start with that. You have literally no idea what you're talking about. In terms of departing reality, here's what I would ask you. How is it, Brian, that I knew in 3 days, within the 3 days of the lockdowns, that it wasn't going to stop anything? How do you think I knew that? Was it a wild guess? Or was it because I observed patterns of behavior? Here's what I observed, Brian, that led me to that conclusion. Number one was that they started playing political games with the lockdown. There never was a lockdown. School kids were locked down and churches were locked down. Big businesses were not. Pot shops were not. Liquor stores were not. Airlines for a couple days or maybe a week, and then they were opened up. There was never a lockdown. But the media pretended there was a lockdown. Then there was the lockstep reporting, Brian. The lockstep reporting of refusing to mention who was at risk for this flu. That's not natural, Brian. That is not a natural media environment. That is a controlled environment. I've worked in media, Brian. I don't know what you do. I've worked in media for a long time. I've worked around media for a longer time. It used to be that people raced to break stories. You know that one of the networks actually created a phenom when they even published the death rates, and they only really did it once, and it was Fox when Scott Atlas was on, and he actually talked about the rates of death for the COVID flu. And that created a phenom. I saw it in convenience stores in Idaho, the lady behind the counter saying, "Dear God, did you see what was on Fox last night? Did you know?" And I said, "Yes, I knew that." So what I watched was a lockstep media environment. And Brian, then I began my research and I began to look into cases. That doesn't sound right. Is that even really a word? Then I went and looked through medical literature, and case used to mean that you actually confirmed someone was sick with something by culturing the virus in their body or a doctor observing them keenly. It no longer means that. So, Brian, I didn't lose touch with anything. I am based in the reality that we live in a controlled media environment, and that was a huge awakening for me. In terms of not talking about Republicans and Democrats, sir, again, you haven't listened to the show for a year. I honestly don't know what you're talking about. I talk about Democrats all the time and Republicans, and I've phrased them as now the party. Why do I do that? Well, I'll tell you, Brian, because your much beloved R versus D scenario, Republicans good, Democrats bad, is breaking the country. What I'm looking at is who are doing godly things and who are not. So when you have a Mitch McConnell who's willing to stand up as the leader of the Senate, he's done some good things. He has, ish. But to stand up and say, President, I just tax and spend, government overreach, way too much money, infrastructure. But he's not willing to say, what are we doing? Wait a minute. We just gave this Joe Biden the power to force people to inject a concoction into their body. What are we doing? He's not willing to step up and say, hey, guys, bacon's on, coffee's up. The education unions, the big school unions, they're teaching your kids to be perverts. They're teaching kids to have perverted sex. He's not willing to step up and say, why are we installing racism in the schools? Brian, that's not the natural position of an adversary. An adversary would look at an opportunity to go at their opponent and win. And you know what's a winning topic? Look at Virginia. Look at the other states where this has happened, where parents have seized the schools. The winning topic is a topic I've been on, and quite frankly, this program's been on for 6 or 7 years ahead of the curve of what's being done in the schools. Jason Rantz owns that beat in Seattle. Dory Monson owns it in Washington State. But dang it, we were on it early. Why? Because I experienced the residue of it. Because I've met kids who've been harmed by it. Hundreds of them, Brian, in person. In person. I've been in the room with them and their parents. And I've seen the party separate kids from their parents. I've watched it happen. I know hundreds of families who've relocated out of state, Brian. I don't talk about Republicans and Democrats. I talked about the fact that Republicans stood flat-footed. In fact, they welcomed the gender confusion into law in the state of Washington, which has ruined children and families. I don't talk about Republicans and Democrats in the way that you want me to, which is you deeply are seeking a Republican good, Democrat bad scenario. And that is not reality, my friend. That is not. It stopped being reality several years ago. Now, given a preference, I choose the Republican Party. Because it should be my party. It should be of limited governance. You can't be pro-lockdown and limited governance. You can't be in the favor of an injection diktat and be a conservative. It's not possible. You can be something else, but not conservative. Particularly with these mRNA injections, which don't stop transmission or infection. Where else do we learn? Where else do people learn in the past year? Or here in the past year? This never goes back to normal. Where did you hear that? How is it that this radio show somehow knew these injections would not stop anything? We'd be in this position. Do you know how many people told me, don't talk about the vaccine passports like it's going to happen. Don't talk about it like it's a certainty. Don't talk about the people losing their jobs as they don't take that. You don't know that. I had people tell me, you need to label that. You need to say, this is complete supposition. You need to come out and say, this is analysis, this isn't news. And what I've said is, listeners will figure out it's my analysis. They'll figure out it's my objection, my prediction. How did I know these things, Brian? Here's why, my friend. Because I got out of Republican good, Democrat bad scenarios. Because I went to the source material. Because I took a double red pill. Now, the double red pill is, why are Republicans absolutely inert objects in all of this? And then I arrived at the conclusion. If you ever wonder who's in charge, determine who you're not allowed to criticize. Thank you for the note, Brian. We'll wrap the day up next with a personal note on the Todd Herman Show.
Down on Main Street.
On a personal note today, this is the second to last KTTH program I'll be doing. We're moving over to a podcast format. And the radio station has been kind enough to allow us to go out this way. And it's not a common thing. They don't usually allow people to do this. They've also, let me explain, I'm going to be doing a podcast. It's going to be easily findable. And they even let me say the web address once. And I'm not going to abuse that. That was enough. This is their radio station. I do hope you'll follow us over. And I really hope, and I insist, that you would please continue to support this radio station. You know, it is funny the way that life prepares you for things. And it is funny the way God sort of works on our character. There were a lot of people who wrote to me after Rush passed and after they made the decision to go the way they did, with Cumulus having Dan Bongino step up and go into the time slot where used to be Rush used to be on that work, God rest Rush, and Clay and Buck, who have stepped into the premiere radio stations and are handling duty there, and Dana in her area. And people wrote to me and said, we're really sorry that you didn't get that gig, you know, to be the guy to come in after Rush. And it's interesting because I never assumed I would be. I never did. And I never identified as a guy who, you know, I'm a fill-in for Rush Limbaugh. It's on my resume, and it will always be on my resume. It's in my heart. It will always be in my heart. But it's funny the way God prepares you for things. It really is. When I was a kid, I had been a rule-following kid. I had been a go-along, get-along, do-what-you're-told kid. I'd been an overachiever at school. And when my parents divorced, and to be fair to my mom, it was my dad who wanted the divorce, and my dad who had committed a moral failure. I love my father. I always will, but I'm not going to lie about the moral failure. And that split me. And I became a very different kid. And I became a really angry kid. And if the school officials had maybe been more skilled or better trained on how to deal with something like that, or my mom recognized the signs better, and I'm not blaming my mom, but she did everything she could. So did my father. They were very good divorce parents. But I began to challenge authority at every step. And I began to notice that authority had way, way, way too much power. When you can suspend me from school or actually, you know, send me home because you say I did something, you didn't see it, no one saw it, and in fact, I didn't do it, that's too much power. When a teacher, or actually a principal, can threaten to beat a little kid up, I was in, what, sixth grade? He was going to beat me up because of something I did off school property. I'm sorry, you have way too much power. I was being prepared for something. Now, when I was that young, I was immature, obviously. I was a kid. So I had curse words and anger and throwing things and getting expelled. And, oh, you're going to suspend me? Well, why don't you suspend me the next day? You know, you're going to send me home from school? Hey, send me home every day this week. That's great. I like going home. I like watching Hogan Heroes. Both my parents work. I like sugar and cereal. Send me home, baby. Go ahead. And it wasn't until high school that teacher's got something figured out. What does he like? He likes sports. He likes sports and he likes drama, likes being on stage. He likes questioning things. So God bless a couple of really smart teachers and coaches who said, first day of high school, my wrestling coach and football coach took me out to lunch together, both gentlemen, my assistant wrestling coach, and said, you're done. You have one referral to the principal's office, one. You'll not play in the football team. You'll not wrestle. You get one thing below a C, you're done. One grade below a C, you're done. And if I see a bunch of C's, you're in trouble. Like, be the student you can be. We're not telling you to be a straight A student. That's maybe not who you are. Be nice. You'd be smart to do that. I was being prepared for something. And at that point, I thought, oh, well, sports, I'm being prepared for sports. Well, I never made the sacrifices one would make to go be an NCAA wrestler. And I convinced myself maybe I wasn't big enough, I wasn't fast enough, and I wasn't big enough to play NCAA football. And if I was, it was because I didn't put in the time that's necessary. I didn't make the sacrifices that are necessary. But it's sure funny the way life prepares you for things. Right? I was prepared now for hard work. I got very used to pushing back against power. I no longer had a problem pushing back against power. I didn't care what power did. I wasn't afraid of it. And because of the way those guys prepared me in high school, I could push back with a smile on my face. I could push back with some charm. And then moving into a ghetto as a white kid who'd only known two black people growing up, I got a culture shock. People live around shootings. People live around their kids getting killed in gang shootings. People find it normal to drive down a street at 10 o'clock at night with other people selling TVs and car stereos, just taken out of cars. I got to see what poverty can be like in the deep city. It's funny the way life prepares you for things. I saw that, in fact, compassion is not a white trait. It's not a Mexican trait. It's not a black trait. It's a human trait. I saw that it's not always racism, that sometimes it's just flat out poverty. And we go back to power. The power of the party to break people, to make people addicted to government sustenance. Then the trip to Washington, D.C. showed it all to me. And I'm skipping a bunch of steps. In D.C., I saw utter, complete corruption. I saw a moral basis that doesn't exist. I saw a godless town with godly people in it. I still have friends there. I just spoke with some of them the other day who somehow keep their souls. It's the biggest mystery to me how they keep their souls. But I'll be frank with you. Some of them are losing their souls. And I know that there's a friend of mine who doesn't want to talk to me anymore because I just said to him, but what about your kids? What are they saying in your second marriage? At the age of 38, what are they seeing? It's funny the way God prepares you for things. Had I been granted the opportunity to be one of the people to follow Rush, I wouldn't have had the character for it. I wasn't yet committed to say, I will make it all about God. I'll make it all about him. Now, I mentioned at the beginning of this personal note that the radio station has been kind enough to allow me to mention the web address where you can pick up my new podcast. And once, and that is absolutely, absolutely the end of the times I'll mention it. Well, but what about building an audience? It's funny the way God prepares you for things. Digital advertising is what I learned to do back in the day. And then there's this. The Apostle Paul didn't have digital. He didn't have, TV. He didn't have radio. He had his legs. He could walk. And yet he went across continent and spread the gospel everywhere he could. And is responsible for at least half the New Testament. He built an audience. It's funny the way God prepares you for things. Had I suddenly stepped in the wake of the greatest radio talk show host in history, Rush Limbaugh, I would have been stepping into something I didn't earn and I didn't build and I didn't work with God on. So I'm off into the great unknown. Tomorrow is the last program on this radio station. But I'm not unknown in this. If it's meant to be, and God blesses it, we're going to have as just the biggest audience as we ever had, if not bigger. And I do hope that you'll continue to support this radio station. This has been the Todd Herman Show. Go be well, be strong, and be kind, and be right with God.